that can damage people is by resonances. For example, some parts of the radio frequency spectrum are resonant with the human body. Now, you know, we only really found out about that in the middle of the 1980s, and that the standards for exposure were suddenly and quickly changed as people realized that you could actually resonate a human body, which is about 6 foot long, depending on the resonant frequency of the wave. An RF wave can be 6 foot long. The way that works is that the wavelength is always related to the frequency of the radio wave. And so if you know the wavelength, you know the frequency. And the wavelength which resonates or shakes something is always the same as its wavelength. So we can work out which the resonant frequencies, for example, would resonate the human skull. And we found that by some unfortunate mischance, the frequency range we have chosen for mobile phones is precisely the same frequency which resonates the human skull. And that is going to lead to a great deal of research, I think, as people wonder whether these mobile phones are harmful or not. Now, way back in 1924, there was a man called Albert Abrams who suggested and used the idea that radio frequencies could be used to diagnose illness and even to create illness or even to cure illness. And he is the original inventor of what was called the black box. Now, nobody really believed him in the medical fraternity, and he died, although he was a very brilliant man, and he died in somewhat ignominious circumstances. But the president of the Royal Society of Medicine at that time, in 1924 or 5, said the most remarkable statement. He said, "There will come a time when every important person will carry around with them a portable cordless telephone. And in that day, on that day, then everyone will begin to realize the importance of Albert Abrams and his work." Now, he said that in 1924, but it's only today, of course, that we're getting mobile phones. And that prediction is beginning to come true. We are finding that the resonant frequencies of RF radiations can probably cause brain tumors. They can weaken the barrier between the blood and the brain, so that that's made permeable, which causes hemorrhages. And all of these radio frequencies are having a much more damaging effect on our long-term health than we at first thought.
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC, Acra, Hudson, Catskill.
After a long absence on local stages, Catskill's Brian DeWan is performing back locally again on Thursday, December 22nd. It's his annual holiday program, and this year it is at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill from 7 to 9 p.m. on Thursday, December 22nd. WGXC should have a live webcast of the performance. It may also be on the FM airwaves. So tune in or turn out to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill Thursday, December 22nd for Catskill's Brian DeWan's return to local stages and his annual holiday show Thursday, December 22nd at the Avalon Lounge.
Wave Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wave Farm and WGXC operate and broadcast. The Mohicans name themselves the people of the waters that are never still following their arrival along the Great Ebb Tide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations and in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For more information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge-Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit mohican.com.
Who can turn the world on with a smile? Who can take a nothing day and suddenly make it all seem worthwhile? What is your girl and you should know it? With each glance and every little movement you show.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Georgia, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate.
And bookish things.
And that's what we're going to do today. We're often joined by our friend Fatia, but I'm not sure if she's going to make it today. Perhaps we'll hear from her later. But in the meantime, I'm excited to hear what you all have to share about what you've been reading lately. Why don't we hear from Georgia?
So I'm going to share this book that I'm 39 pages in. This book is called Thanks a Lot, Universe by Chad Lucas, and I've heard great things about this book, and I've been wanting to read it for a while. Haven't gotten the chances on my to-read list, but my friend let me borrow it, and so, well, my neighbor, actually. So, yeah, it's really good so far, and I like that it just jumps into the action very quickly. So here's the description. Brian had always been anxious, whether at home or in class or on the basketball court. His dad tries to get him to stand up for himself, and his mom helps him as much as she can. But after he and his brother are placed in foster care, Brian starts having panic attacks, and he doesn't know if things will ever be normal again. Ezra has always been popular. He's friends with most of the kids on his basketball team. Even Brian, he usually keeps to himself. But now some of his friends have been acting differently, and Brian seems to be pulling away. Ezra wants to help, but he worries if he's too nice to Brian, his friends will realize he has a crush on him. But when Brian and his brother run away, Ezra has no choice but to take the leap and reach out. Both boys have to decide if they're willing to risk sharing parts of themselves they'd rather hide, but if they can be brave, they might just find the best in themselves and each other. And that was Thanks a Lot, Universe by Chad Lucas.
That sounds really good. I haven't heard of that one. Is that a newer one or is that an older book?
I think it's newer.
What made you pick that one out?
I don't know. I've just been reading it recently. It's been like so good.
No, I mean, why did you decide to read it? Not why did you decide to talk about it today?
Oh, Well, my friends had talked about it and said it was really good. And I looked it up and it looked really good. And then my friend and I did a book swap. And one of them she put in was this book. And I was like, yes. So, yeah.
What do you do for your book swap? How does that work?
We swapped like 10 books with each other.
Oh, so you just take, you pick out 10 and they pick out 10 and we get what you get?
Exactly. Yeah.
I haven't done a book swap. That sounds fun. I'd feel like so much pressure to read them all though.
Yeah.
Do you give them back to each other? Like, are you just borrowing them or is it like, these are yours now?
Oh no, we're just borrowing them. Eventually we'll give them back to each other. We've had each other's books for like 3 months though, so.
What's the best one that you've read that you got through the swap?
Blended was super good.
Oh, that was a swap. Cool. I hope they're all good. Did you both try to pick out ones that you thought the other person would like, or was it just random?
That was the exact point. We picked out ones would like.
Sometimes I feel like I know what people will like, and sometimes it's who knows. Like some people, I know their reading styles better than others, so it'd be easier.
Yeah.
I hope you keep enjoying it. So Amelia, what did you want to share today?
Oh God, I'm not sure. I'm in my last stretch of classes right now. I'm gonna get my bachelor's very soon, so I'm like hyper focused on that, and I haven't had a lot of time to read. However, I've been rereading some stuff. I've considered trying to find like a PDF of Charles Dickens, of like not Charles Dickens. No, I think that is a. Give me a second. Let me look this up. The original, Charles Dickens wrote A Christmas Carol, and I've considered trying to like find a PDF of it and like actually reading like the original, since Christmas is coming up soon, and I like to read, you know, things that are associated with the season. I read scary books in October. I read slightly less scary books the rest of the year, but especially in October. And I've considered like trying to find like a PDF of it and just seeing how it's actually written. Because there are so many adaptations of it. I've always wanted to like read the original work.
I've never read Dickens.
Yeah.
I'm curious if I'd like it.
Neither. I don't think I ever have either.
I've seen plays. Like I've seen Oliver and Christmas Carol.
Yeah, I'm surprised I haven't read more Dickens. Because I took like literature classes in college. So I would have thought like that would be a major author. But I guess maybe he's not as big as I thought he was. I thought he was pretty popular, but I mostly ended up reading Mark Twain, none of which I really enjoyed. So, but you know, it is what it is. I'm excited. I'm excited for the winter walk. I'm excited for Christmas.
Oh yeah, winter walk is right around the corner, especially this show airs on Friday night and Sunday morning for our early morning listeners. But so winter walk is a nice little sandwich with our show.
Yeah. I hope
the weather holds up. I saw a forecast recently that did not look pretty, but hopefully it changes. I've learned not to worry about weather forecasts until like the day.
My dad has been reading a book that I have not read, but every so often he gives me like nice little tidbits of information out of it that I do not want to know, because the title of the book is The Excruciating History of Dentistry. Every so often my dad will be like, hey, did you know this? And I'll be like, yeah, I didn't know that. I don't think I wanted to know that, but thank you.
Yeah, that sounds so horrifying.
Well, I've kind of been like involuntarily privy to what my dad is learning about. I don't think I'm ever going to read that book, because if you did not know this, dentistry is probably one of my like top 10 fears. Mm-hmm. I hate going to the dentist. I know, I have learned things about dentists that I never wanted to know, so, yeah.
I think going to the dentist is very important for health, but I agree, it is not fun. Do not.
But I will never voluntarily drive myself to the dentist. I still have my parents drive me to the dentist, because I do not have the heart to go on my own. I can't do that. It is a high, high ranking fear of mine. Yeah, that's what I've been doing this week.
Being terrified of dentists.
Being terrified of dentists and reading about anthropology.
Cool. I read many books this week, but most of them were picture books. But I did read a couple graphic novels, I think just two this week. One of them is the first in the newer of the series of Ms. Marvel, or I guess I don't know if it's the newest series, but yeah, so it's the first issue or volume in the series of Magnificent Ms. Marvel, and it's called Destined by Saladin Ahmed. And at first I wasn't as into it because it takes you to a foreign planet, and I tend to like my comics more like set in like a real world environment or like a more realistic environment than like when it gets to outer space, like epic adventure, I lose interest a little bit. But I felt like it both started and ended in interesting ways. So I'm excited to read more from that series. But then I read one standalone comic this past week that was really good. It's called Huda F.R.U. And it's by Huda Fahmy. So it's Huda F, for that's her name. And it's a graphic novel. It is fiction, but it's inspired by her childhood experiences. And the main character shares her name. But it is about a teen named Huda who is sort of trying to figure out who she is and her place and like what makes her unique. And it's sort of centered on like a couple things. One is she's one of many daughters and she feels like they each have like their thing. And she's always been sort of the smart one. And she's like, is that enough of being your thing that you're smart? And then in her small town where she had lived, she was also the hijabi girl because she wore a hijab. And then her parents move her family to Dearborn, Michigan, where there's a much larger Muslim population. And all of a sudden, she doesn't stand out for wearing a hijab. And I feel like it's one of those things where in her smaller town, she could be like, oh, well, I'm going to be friends with the other Muslim girls. Like, that's who my crew can be. But then when you move to a place where the majority are young Muslim girls, you can't just make them be your crew because they're everybody. So she's just having a bit of a hard time trying to figure out what her place is and who she is, as I think many people struggle with in their teen years anyways. But I thought it was a really interesting story. It was funny. The artwork was interesting. There were things that I noticed, like I was reading it and then every once in a while I'd be like, oh, their hands aren't attached to their body. They had like the drawings have hands where they're just like circles that are sort of like hovering at the end of their arms, like they're not attached. And I noticed it at one point because somebody like raised their hand or waved or something. And I was like, their hand is not attached to their body. So that was a little funny, but it was a little distracting, but the story pulls you in so you don't really worry about it. And the other thing was that some of them wore glasses and the behind the glasses, like there'd be like the rectangle for the glass frame. And then it was like white background with a little slit for eyes. And it was white whether the person, like it was like really white. So it didn't really match skin tone. So there were people in this book that were white, had brown skin, had darker skin. And they always had these glasses that had white backgrounds, which was very confusing to me. So I would say it wasn't my favorite artwork, but the story was still engaging and interesting. So yeah, it worked for me. Hooray.
It's cool that you still could read it even though the artwork wasn't your favorite. I know some people, especially with graphic novels, like the art will sometimes be enough to turn them away. And that includes me. Sometimes the art for me is enough to turn me away. I tend to like dislike it more when the art is really, really generic more than if it's like different enough to stand out. So I feel like I'd enjoy that art style you described.
I mean the hands kind of made me laugh.
Yeah.
Oh, they're cute little round hands that are not attached to their bodies.
That sounds really funny. Do you have any specific comics that like, and I guess this could be a question for both you and Georgia, if there's any specific comics where you really, really liked the art, like any favorite art styles and comics you've read?
Yes, I am drawn to many different styles of art. The one that I read most recently that I felt like the artwork was just really beautiful and interesting was The Nice House on the Lake by Tinian, I think. I'm trying to remember their full name. I just read that a month or so ago. And I wouldn't say that that kind of artwork doesn't, it was really beautiful. And I think if I read any story, it would like draw me in, just the artwork alone. But I feel like what made that one stand out was that the story was really interesting too, and the storytelling as well as the art. So it was like just the full package was like great. But then I also love like Jeff Lemire's work, which isn't always like the prettiest, but it's, I don't know, something really works about it for me. And then I sort of like some of the more like less artsy, like more cartoony styles, like Shannon Hale or Colleen Venable, who does Katie the Cat Sitter, and Shannon Hale does like the Best Friends series. That style works for me as well. I don't know, I'm pretty flexible. Like, even as long as the story is good, it's very hard for the art to like really offend me. But sometimes I think it's more about what suits the work. Like, certain art styles work better with certain stories. Like Katie the Cat Sitter with the art from Nice House on the Lake would not work, and vice versa. What about you, Georgia? I know you read a lot of comics.
Well, for drawing styles with comics, I feel like I'll really take like anything for comic drawing styles, because like, I don't know, just it's hard to like mess up a comic drawing style. I guess like it really depends on the story, you know? Like, some stories I think would be better like not in realistic, but then some stories would be better in like realistic, you know? It just like, I think it depends on the book for me.
That makes sense. How about you, Amelia? I know you like Junji Ito. Who else do you like?
I do like Junji Ito mostly because his art stands out, especially in the manga world. I find that with a lot of manga, especially those that are translated to English, a lot of the art looks very, very, very similar. Probably because those are just the staples of manga art in Japan. The big eyes, the very long bodies, the very thin line art. Those are just staples of the genre. So whenever I find someone who kind of deviates from that staple, I find it interesting. And Junji Ito is definitely one of those artists. Another artist that I find deviates from that is, I do not remember the name of the author, but there is a horror manga called Happy Sugar Life, which is a very, very, very adult psychological horror manga, but the art in that is very pretty and also deviates from the norm. I would have to pull it out again to figure out exactly how to describe how it deviates from the norm. But it is definitely different. Everything from like the coloring style to the line work, and that is very pretty. And then there is, a lot of these come from horror manga, but I find that horror manga are the those are the authors that tend to deviate most from the typical style. As for American comics, I like Nimona, especially since it started out as a webcomic and you can see the progression of the art through the story. I like Lore Olympus, which I talked about on a previous episode, because I like the all the colors it uses. I think it's very pretty. Once again, I say that's a pretty polarizing statement, because I find that people either seem to love or hate the art in that comic, even though I genuinely don't understand why. I think it's really pretty. It has me kind of questioning if I have bad taste sometimes when I see how much people dislike that art of it at times. And I like this is where it gets weird, because there is a manga I read a long time ago online, and by a long time ago I mean a couple years. It was a horror manga. It took place in a classroom, and I cannot remember the name of it. I have looked up horror manga takes place in the classroom, and unfortunately that brings up a lot of results. Apparently a classroom is a very common setting for horror manga to take place, and I cannot find the comic again. I do not remember the author. I think the author may have used a pseudonym, which makes it even more difficult to find, but she had a very, very thick line art style and very, very blocky art style that I thought was absolutely gorgeous. Cannot remember the name of the author, cannot remember the name of the comic. I'm gonna be searching for it forever, I'm afraid, but yeah. This is gonna haunt me until the day I die. I desperately, desperately wonder what that, because if I remember right, the worst part was the comic was good. It had a really good story, and I cannot remember what it was called.
Yeah, but that's hard.
It had such a beautiful, beautiful art style.
Well, if you ever find it, you can let us know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'll read it. Very cool.
I'm sorry, the art nerd in me kind of came out there. I started talking about line art and line weight and colors.
Ooh, go for
please,
it. Go
please
wild.
Please continue. I'm such an art nerd.
Me too, yeah. I've just started learning digital art too, so I'm like, it's gotten to the point where I'll look at pretty art and I'll go, oh my god, that art's so pretty. What kind of brush did you use to do this? Let me look at that line.
I know.
Yeah, that was something I didn't really think of as much because I don't have much background in art. Like I did art class in middle school and high school, or whatever. But I haven't done much art. And even in high school, I think I took photography more than like visual art. So I don't really know much about creating art. So when I look at pictures, I don't often think about how it was made as much as I maybe could. But I do it more now. When I was in grad school, I had a class on children's literature, and we had to write reports about different books. And one of the things we were supposed to note was the artwork and the mediums that they use. And sometimes in picture books, at least, which I don't know if graphic novels have this too, but sometimes they will have that information in like in the end pages or the publishing section. They'll say like what the medium is.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting. It is interesting to look at. I just, before then, I hadn't really thought much about it. But as somebody that reads a lot of picture books, which have a lot of various art forms in them, it's pretty cool. But yeah, feel free to geek out on art any time you want on Bound by Books.
Yeah.
As long as it's book related.
Yeah, and this is book related.
Yeah, most art can be. Anyways, we're almost out of time for today, but does anyone have anything that they want to share that they're excited for? Either things on their to read list or things happening in life?
It is 4:39 p.m. and it is already pitch black at my house.
I hate it.
Is that what you're excited for?
The one thing I hate about winter is that.
What? I love that.
No, not me. I prefer it to be sunny.
Winter is amazing. My favorite weather is snow.
Oh, my favorite weather is snow, too.
I like it to be dark. Winter is my favorite season. It's the best.
I think I would take longer days over dark early evenings. But on occasion, it's quite nice. Like, it'll be nice for winter walk to be out and about. And it'll be dark out and there'll be, like, shimmering lights and stuff. That'll be nice.
Yeah. They do winter walk at a great time of the year.
Except it's not winter yet, is it? Isn't winter like mid-December?
It's officially the solstice, like December the start of 21st, winter. But I consider December 1st the start of winter.
Yeah, I consider it winter once it gets really cold and I have to wear a coat at all times. Then it's winter. True. Not at all times, at all times outside. So I don't know if I would feel differently if I was in a place that stays warmer longer in the year. I've always lived in the Northeast, so I don't know what that's same. Like.
Well,
I guess I
was gonna say same, but I was born in the Northwest, so mm-hmm. Seattle. But
I'm trying to think, I had something in mind that I wanted to share that I'm excited for, but now I can't remember.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. I mean, I am excited for Winter Walk. I've been having a lot of fun watching the World Cup soccer games, and I'm excited that the U.S. men's national team made it past the group stage. I don't know that they'll make it much farther, but it's been really fun watching them. They're like a young team, lots of newer players. I don't know. They have a good energy.